3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump in, join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on a central biblicist worldview. That is, what does the Bible say? Let me remind you once again that, and I've said it less than a million times on the broadcast week by week, but as we look at what is happening locally, nationally, internationally, globally, we need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? You see, when we look at the Scripture, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, we find that God is giving a progressive revelation of Himself to man. And in that, He is pointing out what has taken place past, present, and future. And because God is immutable, that is unchangeable, whatever God has done in the past, He will do in the future without any equivocation. So I call our attention to the B-I-B-L-E, as we used to sing in Vacation Bible School less than 100 years ago. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we're speaking about a very, very, very important issue. I believe one that's probably more grave than anything we've talked about recently. I'll touch on it. Just recently, just yesterday, for worship services at a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, Don Lemon, as he wants to be called, Don Lemon, the disgraced, fallen, former CNN anchor, the sodomite of all sodomites, led a group into a church worship service to interrupt it because they were told, they believed, that one of the pastors there was also a member of the ICE team. Therefore, in fact, Don Lemon, as we'll talk about later in the broadcast, said that it is the freedom of speech, the freedom of the right of assembly that they were exercising in going into a church during a worship service. My question is, do you believe that? Is there a right for any demonstrator, for any agnostic, for any illegal, for any atheist, heathen, or a thief, or thug, whatever you want to call them, wherever you want to find them? Do they have a right? Do they have a constitutional right? Do they have a freedom of speech to go in and disrupt a worship service? I'd love to hear from you. If you think they do, tell me where it's found. Constitutionally or biblically, where is it found? And keep in mind, I'm going to be careful. The one that's the mayor in Minneapolis says that for ICE agents and for those to go against ICE agents, that for a neighbor to love the neighbor, it's a love thing for a neighbor to confront an ICE agent and to harm, hurt, or make them stand down. Now, we're going to talk about all of these things today in relationship to the question, will America survive? If we continue the trek that we're on now, if we continue the journey that we're going down now, if America continues to devolve as we're devolving now, will America stand? Is it possible for America to be sustained as a constitutional republic? Is it possible for us to remain alive as a United States, as a nation today? We're going to talk about these things today, but ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at what I think is very, very, very difficult to see through the fog, through the haze, to see the future of America and it being restored to where we have been in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, we have witnessed the anarchy increasing month by month. We have been witnessing the confrontation of law enforcement, which I call, based on the scripture, lawlessness taking place across America. We have witnessed the blue cities, blue states, and those in those areas taking a stand for lawlessness and a stand against the Constitution, a stand against America. Is it time for the Insurrection Act to be enacted? Is it time for President Trump to say enough is enough and to enact the Insurrection Act and quell the lawlessness in America? I think we've crossed the line. I personally think that we've gone too far to come back to where we need to be to restore the rights and the freedoms and the liberties that we have in our Constitution for the citizens of the United States of America. Now, do you believe we've gone too far? Do you believe it's possible for us to go back to where there is a comfortability, where there is a quiet and peace in America, where we've seen in the past? Have we crossed the line, or some would call it the red line? Where are we today, in your opinion? What should we do in relationship to the latest now, where the renegades, the anarchists, feel they have the freedom, the liberty, to go into a church and disrupt the service? And in this particular case that took place yesterday in St. Paul, Minneapolis, ladies and gentlemen, some of the news articles, and I've got a sheaf of the articles, some of the news articles says the kids were petrified, said the ones that were there to worship, the church members, those in the congregation were terrified as to what was taking place. And the pastor just stood and said, "Get out of here. This is wrong. Shame on you." What should be the response in a church when that takes place? Should there be silence? Should people just crawl under the pew? Should there be the mindset that, you know, shame on you folks, you shouldn't come in and do this? What should be the response? Let me use an illustration. If this were to take place at your home, someone come pounding in the door, disrupt your quiet life at home, and you feel threatened at home, how should you respond? There's no difference in relationship to the anarchy and the lawlessness and the thuggery that's taking place, that took place in the church. No difference. So how would you respond at home? Would you simply say, "Please get out of here. You, shame on you guys. It's wrong"? How should we respond? If it's a place of business and a group of thugs break in, I come in the door uninvited and break the law, how should you respond in the place of business? Well, that should give us a good illustration of how we should respond, in my most humble opinion, as a church, as Christians, as patriots, as conservatives. There ought not to be any difference in the location of that invasion and how we respond to it. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book, John 8:31-32. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement about itself: "Thy word is truth." And then Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Now, that's a comforting thought, that the truth of the Lord endures forever. It needs no updating, modification, changing, revision in order for it to stand. The truth of the Lord stands forever. But ladies and gentlemen, people like George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, made a profound statement when he said this: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." So we see today, ladies and gentlemen, when Christians, conservatives, and patriots, and pastors take a stand against what Governor Waltz is doing in Minnesota, when we take a stand against what is being done by the idiot, if I can be bold, that calls himself the mayor of Minneapolis, what should we say? How should we respond? Should we just simply believe what they're saying? But ladies and gentlemen, I believe when we see that, we understand that there is anarchy and insurrection that's taking place. So when we see what they're saying, for example, the mayor of Minneapolis saying that these anarchists, these renegades in the street, these that are taking their using their automobiles to try to chase down and kill law enforcement officers, when we see those wanting to spit on the law enforcement officers, ICE and others, and slap them in the face or hit them with a baseball bat or throw rocks at them, we're calling the mayor of Minneapolis says that's love because a neighbor is taking care of a neighbor. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got something backwards, upside down. And I should remind you that as we look at the scripture in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the people, when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I believe we should declare a national day of mourning and the realization and the recognition of what's taking place in the state of Minnesota and others, by the way. It's not just Minnesota, it's Seattle and L.A., et cetera, et cetera. But in Proverbs 14:34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That word exalt means to lift up, to glorify, to honor. So righteousness glorifies, honors, lifts up any nation, but sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And I believe that's the category that we need to talk about today and look at and analyze and understand what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that we need to wake up, look up, and understand that truth is on the line. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership company specializing the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in just another moment, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in and join in this very vital dialogue and discussion on a very serious, grave issue that we're talking about today. Will America survive when we see lawlessness prevailing, when we see lawlessness devolving to the position where anarchists and insurrectionists can go into a church, disrupt the church services? Have we gotten to the bottom of the bucket yet? And is it time, I'm asking questions, want you to respond, is it time for President Trump to introduce the Insurrection Act? We're going to talk about the Insurrection Act in a moment, when it was put into effect, what it was for, and whether or not it is applicable even today with what is taking place in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. Minneapolis ICE protesters are begging for civil war, and we need to take them seriously. Liberal protesters have descended upon Minneapolis following the ICE shooting of Renee Nicole Good. This particular writer says, can't help but get civil war vibes, the writer said. Civil war vibes because of what's happening in Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. This is my footnote to all that we're talking about. Governor Waltz and the Dumbo, that's the mayor of Minneapolis. I believe they're both operating on the basis to cause enough flare, cause enough rioting and disobedience and lawlessness, and it will cover the reality of a deeper issue, and that is the billions of dollars of fraud that I believe the governor, the mayor, are up to their ears in participating in that fraud and the mega billions of dollars of loss of federal and state tax dollars as a result of the thuggery that's taking place. This article says, I do take them seriously. They do want violence. I want to be clear. I do take them seriously because they're trying to take down America from within, and they do very much want a civil war. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's a civil war, then all of this will go by the board from the standpoint of further investigation, or a real investigation, real digging deeply into the fraud that's taken place and has taken place in Minneapolis. I believe that's exactly what the governor's after, what he's attempting to do. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a disturbing element of this in Minneapolis and in all of Minnesota, and that is Keith Ellison, the Attorney General. I believe he's up to his ears in the fraud that's taken place. I've seen him in his conferences, and one that's come about now where a telephone conversation has been surfaced where he is telling his donors that not to worry. If anything comes up, any questions, he will defend them. He will block it, if you will, and prevent it from going any further. So we find in the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, the governor for the state of Minnesota, and for one of the key mayors, the mayor of Minneapolis, all of them taking a stand, ladies and gentlemen, that sheltering fraud and lawlessness and even now preserving and almost saying that it is legal for them to do so. In fact, Don Lemon, that was the leader of the Klan that broke into the worship services yesterday in St. Paul, Minnesota, one of the churches there, which happened to be, by the way, a Southern Baptist church, Lemon said that it was the freedom of speech and the right to riot, the right, R-I-G-H-T, to riot, R-I-O-T, that they were doing that, and it was not against the law. So I want to hear from you today. What do you think? 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
How you doing today, Dr. Youngblood?
I'm doing great. As you can tell, I'm boiling, but go ahead.
I read the same article there. He was inhibiting individuals that were U.S. citizens from their First Amendment right. Now, there are several laws in the United States that were passed, in particular the FACE Act, which means freedom of access to clinical interests, and they've used that law multiple times against Christian groups that stand in front of abortion clinics there. A lot of states in response to that have been, including Florida. Florida has this law on their books there that you cannot disrupt a church assembly by entering the church and being disruptive there. It's actually a crime here in Florida. A lot of states have that same law on the book. These people are, they're itching for confrontation, and they're trying to sow dissent. Don Lemon may think that he has the right, but he is entering into private property and creating a disturbance. He wasn't there to worship. He wasn't there to participate. He was there to antagonize and to create dissension. And if I remember right, I think in Leviticus somewhere, that's one of the things that God hates a lot, is people that sow dissension.
But it's
so,
in,
does
it's
he have the right?
Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses, I believe it's verse 13 and following. It's on the left page, the left column in my Bible, but you're exactly right. There is a major need today for us to recognize it. But, Jim, let me read you a portion. I've got about 15 or 20 articles on that subject from every angle you can think of. I'm looking at one that says, unacceptable. Anti-ICE agitators storm Christian worship service. Don Lemon claims they have a First Amendment right to do so. Now, this is what the article reads like. They're going from hotel to hotel, church to church, hunting for federal law enforcement who are risking their lives to protect America. A Christian church service was invaded by anti-ICE protesters in St. Paul, Minnesota, on Sunday, with former CNN anchor Don Lemon apparently leading the disturbance. Lemon live streamed the intrusion of Cities, that's C-I-T-I-E-S, Cities Church, a Southern Baptist congregation, as shouts of ice out, hands up, don't shoot, and justice for Renee Good echoed throughout the building. Good was an anti-ICE activist fatally shot by federal agents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement was not amused as it shared a clip of the video and stated, quote, agitators aren't just targeting officers, now they're targeting our churches also. Now, here's my question, Jim. If we as a nation, if we as a law-abiding citizenry in America, if we as civil government, including President Donald J. Trump, if we as Pam Bondi, DOJ, if we allow this to continue, we're going to see major, 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 major disruption in worship services across America. Now, here's my position. Here's my position. Here's my question, Jim, and I'd love for you to respond. If that takes place in a place of business, what's the people supposed to do? If that were to take place in your home, how would you respond? So use that same measure, that same barometer. If this group of thugs, if this group of anti-Americans rush into the church and disrupt the service, how should the armed citizens in that church respond?
They should ask them to leave. If Don Lemon was at CNN and I walked into CNN studios and I started making a scene, I would be escorted from the property. Physical removal of the property from the property there should have been the priority and allow them to escalate it to the limit they want to accept. I've often been taught, particularly when I, that, you know, only use the amount of force necessary to accomplish the goal and try not to use, you know, excessive force. So,
well, let me jump in and ask a question. I have got in a pretty thick notebook information and articles, news articles from 1999 following, where there's been approximately 2,200 events in churches across America, and one not too many years ago, in fact, just a couple of years back, about 3 years ago now, where during the midst of a worship service, a man stands up and pulls out from under his overcoat in the services a shotgun and start shooting. Should this event that we're talking about now, should the people have just waited? What about in that crowd of thugs, the anarchists coming in? How many of them were armed? We don't know. How many of the members of the church are those in services yesterday morning in that church in St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota? How many of those were there as sitting ducks if one of the thugs, the anarchists that rushed in, had pulled out a weapon and started shooting? I think, Jim, and ladies and gentlemen that's listening, I believe it's time for us in churches to be proactive and recognize the absolute danger and the aura in America today that Christians, conservatives, and patriots are just to be sitting ducks, do nothing, say nothing, until you're injured, wounded, or dead as a result of the thuggery and the lawlessness that's being allowed to take place in America. And I believe also, Jim, and I'm just throwing this out, and I'd love to have your response to all of it, I believe it's time for the Insurrection Act to be immediately introduced and quelch this that's taken place in Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and Oregon, and other places, Seattle, Washington. I believe it's time that we cause it to cease and desist. The longer it continues, the more it's going to eat away at the fundamental foundation that we have in America. But now, in my mind, they've crossed the line, the red line, the no equivocation red line when they go into a church and start doing this. What say you?
I would agree with that. Churches should have policies in there to be proactive against these type of security intrusions. I know your church does, for a fact. I've been there. But the second thing that I want to bring up, where are the Davids? Where was that David that could have stood up with the jawbone of a mule and taken out a large group? That's another part of our problem with Christianity, is being too conciliatory towards this type of behaviors there. Now, the Insurrection Act, last time it was used was Rodney King in Los Angeles there. The longer they delay on using this act to get these people into compliance, the worse it's going to get. They become emboldened because they're getting away with so... I don't know if you saw that where they broke into the back of federal vehicles and stole the lock boxes out of the back of those and physically opened them up. That should have been it right there. That should have been the last draw.
That crossed the line in that realm, absolutely. And in that box, by the way, it wasn't just weapons. It had names, addresses, telephone numbers of all of the FBI agents that were on duty and are assigned to Minnesota. And this is where they've gone through now, and they're getting names, addresses, et cetera, and in some cases photographs of those agents, and they're chasing them down. In fact, there's a individual out of, I've forgotten what state she's operating out of. I've got a huge article on it where there's been major proud response now saying that she has worked up an internet access program where she can chase down and give the location. Here it is. No, that's not it. She is giving out the information, name, address, telephone numbers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and photographs online for those that are out there with ICE and with the FBI. And this is where it's coming from. Some of it came out of that box, out of the trunk of that FBI agent's car, and they were photographing the documents, the papers, et cetera, et cetera. And that's been now dispersed across the world on the internet, and these men's lives are in danger as a result of it. Yes, I believe, without any equivocation, in fact, I would be even bold enough to say I believe it's time for citizens to call your representative, to call your senator, and all of those that are in authority in D.C., and let them know that you want them to insist that President Trump issues the Insurrection Act and to do it immediately. Pam Bondi and others have said with this church break-in that they've just had that we're going to get on it, we're going to do something about it, we're going to prosecute it, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I understand all of that, and I'm thankful for those statements, but it does not mitigate the circumstances now and the near foreseeable future that others want to do acts just like that to get the attention. I believe it's time we stand up. I'm looking at this article again where Tim Walz and Jacob Fry are responsible for whipping these mobs into frenzy and then allowing them to run rampant. We won't be deterred. ICE isn't going anyplace. This is what the First Amendment is about, the freedom to protest, Don Lemon said. I'm sure people here don't like it, but protests are sometimes uncomfortable. And Don Lemon goes on to brag about how even in a church service that he has the right to break in and protest, and he has that liberty based on our Constitution. I want somebody someplace to tell me where that idiot is right.
Don't look for me to tell you he's right. I know what he'd have done if he'd have broke into my church.
I'll second that.
Sorry, doctor, but you just can't go into somebody's. There's no difference between your church and your home. Some people, that is their life.
Yes.
The worship of Jesus, their church, their home, there's no difference there.
Right.
The castle law here in Florida states that if you're in your vehicle, you can defend yourself in your vehicle. If you're in your home, you can defend yourself in your home. A lot of that same law could be easily applied to a church, particularly to individuals that that attend church often and are devoted to the church. On a daily basis. To me, it's sad that this man has absolutely zero conscience or morals to walk into a house of God and act like a buffoon.
Absolutely, and that he is. That identified him completely. He is a antagonist. He's one that believes that everybody should bow to his LGBTQ sodomite agenda, and now he believes that somehow, some way, he has the right to enter into churches. And going back to the one that I couldn't pick up the article immediately, left-wing activist admits to running large-scale ICE Watch Network. A left-wing activist identifying herself only as TJ openly admits she's operating out of St. out of Salt Lake City, and she is running a large-scale ICE watch operation, coordinating the activists to find and go against the ICE agents across the nation. So, Jim, it deserves our prayer. The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, and I believe we do not need to be afraid, but we need to stand up, speak up. We're going to take the top of the... Thank you for calling, Jim. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. If you're hanging on, waiting, hold on just after the news, we'll pick up and ask you to give your information and your question and comment. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ.